Hey, drama listeners, treat yourself in 2022 with a monthly all-access pass to our Patreon, where you'll have bonus episodes, Instagram close friends privileges, and stay ahead of the curve on all the drama. For just $5 a month, you can help us continue to bring you gag-worthy guests, including so many wicked witches. We've had Jackie Burns, Jenny DeNoia, Lily Cooper, Julia Murney, Carmen Cusack, and many more, including Glinda's Fierro's Box and even a Morrible. Check us out on patreon.com/thedramapodcast and in the link below. All right, now on with the show.
Press play.
Curtain of an hour in.
It's time to take spin.
The shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama. Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book? Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well. What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I'm Connor McDowell.
I am Dylan McDowell. This is a thrillifying week,
Dylan,
for us on Drama.
So thrillifying. This feels like an emergency pod, and it only makes sense because we have the emergency Elphaba on here with us. But
yes.
Before we dive in, you just dropped me off in the Big Apple once again, a familiar moment. Mm-hmm. I feel like we were just talking about this on the podcast, and we got to see some theater. We saw Mrs. Doubtfire on Sunday.
We did. And we little did we know it was the last performance before they announced that they're going on a hiatus. So there is actually one more week of performances. But first of all, I loved it. It was so much fun.
Okay, that young girl.
And Rob McClure is a star.
Okay, Rob McClure is a star. But that young girl who plays Lydia, like the oldest daughter, gave vocals the house down boots.
This, I know.
This queen, I mean, put her in Next to Normal as Natalie, put her in Beetlejuice as the young girl in Beetlejuice. Like
the young girl also named Lydia. You know, Connor, I will say, I feel like this is like the Gen Z Broadway type girl.
Oh, I'm shaking. I have no idea what you mean by that, but the concept of a Gen Z Broadway girl sounds terrifying and exciting all at once.
Well, they kind of sing like they have like a record deal already.
Like they're like singing covers on TikTok or something.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
It's the TikTokification of Broadway, no doubt.
Definitely. But it was amazing. But then of course we walk out and there's this breaking news that's going on a break. What are your thoughts on that?
If it works, it'll be the stuff of legends. They saved their own show from a surge in COVID, right? But if it doesn't work, it's really sad because, I mean, this has been said over and over again, but obviously this company was about to open right when COVID first hit in 2020. They were on hold forever and ever. They finally just opened up and then COVID's hitting again. And like for cast members that have like devoted their lives to this show for years, it's like so sad and uncertain. And like, obviously the performing arts industry has always been something that's uncertain. And it's just even more so like that now. And I wonder if young people getting into the industry are going to start having a different view on what it means to like make it on Broadway or make it in theater based on like the way things are even more, have even more question marks around them now, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm sad because it was good.
I'm sad that the show closed because it was really fun. It's some of the most fun I've had in the theater in a while.
Well, paused. Like my own pause. Like Dorinda Medley being on pause from Real Housewives of New York for like a year after seasons.
Yes.
11 and was it 11 and 12 or 12 and 13? Mm-hmm. But anyway.
Yes.
Rob McClure is amazing though, and you were saying that earlier.
Yes. All right. I think without further ado, we need to bring in our guest because some exciting things have been happening. And as you referenced, there's this moniker, Emergency Elphaba, that's been coined on twitter.com. And we have the exclusive.
Well, I don't know if it's the only exclusive, but we do have the exclusive.
No,
you know what I mean? Like this is like one of the most exciting things that's happened since Broadway reopened in September. And I've got to jump in.
Bring her in, Connor.
Our guest today is a part of Wicked Herstory as one of the legendary members of the Green Girl Sisterhood who recently returned to the role of Elphaba on Broadway as an emergency cover. The gag is that she last played the role 7 years ago, best known to the theater community as part of Wicked on tour and on Broadway, covering Nessarose and Elphaba. Our guest also toured Asia in The Sound of Music and The Nation in Mamma Mia. She's been in literally all the best shows that exist ever on the planet. Her stellar vocals and performing prowess have been part of numerous workshops and regional productions, including Otherworld, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, Songs for a New World, Man of La Mancha, and more. when she isn't saving Broadway. Our guest is a software engineer at G2 in Chicago, advocating for artists looking to make a career change into tech. Before running her own private voice studio, she taught voice at Marymount Manhattan College and Cap 21. She is a woman in STEM and MT. Please welcome to Drama, Carla Stickler.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Thank you guys so much for having me.
The pleasure is all ours. Even just chatting with you before we hit record, you have such a great, warm energy. And it means a lot that you're chatting with us today. Shout out to Al Silber, friend of the pod, for connecting us.
Old friend Al. Love Al.
Yeah,
making things happen.
Yeah, so you and Al met at Interlochen?
Yes. Oh my gosh. I think we were 12. It was the summer going into my freshman year of high school. And we were such babies. And then years and years after that, and went to high school together and all sorts of things. I love Al.
Did you go to the actual Interlochen high school?
I did both. So I was 4 summers at the camp, and then I did my senior year of high school. It's pretty magical. I love that place.
That's great. Wait, before we kick into any more of our conversation, we like to ask all of our guests how they're doing. Carla, are you well?
I am so well. I have been stuck in a hotel room in Midtown Manhattan all week, and I am doing as well as one can be after sitting in Midtown Manhattan on Times Square, or in Times Square on New Year's Eve by myself. it's been a wild week, just, you know, lots of solo time.
Oh my God. I feel like we need to just get right into all of this, because
many questions. I'm just really so curious about all of this.
Literally. So, I mean, for our listeners who aren't familiar with the story, you were called in during this crazy moment in time with COVID running rampant through the city to step back into Wicked. And you were last in the show in 2015.
Okay. So I want to, as Glinda would say, to set the record straight. The last time I played Elphaba was 2015. That is very true. The last time I was painted green and was in the show as Elphaba was 2015. Now, I left the show full time in 2015. I have been a swing in that show up until the summer of 2019.
Oh, wow.
So I have been in and out of the show. I haven't, like, I've had, like, a rehearsal here and there. Like, I got to, like, Brittany Johnson, the most amazing Glinda ever that there will ever be, who's about to start taking over the role. I was really fortunate enough to do understudy rehearsals with her when she learned the show. So, like, amazing. I've been in the building. But, I mean, the thing that I think is crazy is that I haven't sung in, like, how long has the pandemic been going on? You know, like, I was fully committed to being, like, I'm done. I'm quitting this. This is great. Like, I was there covering for like 2 weeks in 2019 while I was like doing my coding boot camp here in New York. I was like doing double duty. I was like at coding school all day and then back at the theater at night, just like doing the ensemble track. And then after that was over, I was like, cool, I'm done. That's it. I'm out of here. I'm going to move. At that point, I didn't know I was moving to Chicago yet, but I was like, if I never play it again, if I never do it again, it's fine. I've made peace with it. 2015 was the last time it'll ever happen. So yeah, when I got that call, I was like, oh, I might actually get to do this again. It's been a really long time.
Wait, when did they call you?
Yeah.
So my company gave our whole, like, every employee at the company, you know, tech is great, y'all. I got a week off between Christmas and New Year's. And on Christmas was Saturday. So on Sunday, the day after Christmas, my husband and I and a bunch of our friends were in a car driving up to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. I don't know if any of your listeners know Michigan, but the Upper Peninsula is like real far from anywhere in the world. It is in the middle of nowhere. And I get a text. It's like, hey, what are you doing this week? And I just was like, I knew that, like, I don't know what it was. It was like, as soon as I got in that car, I'd been like seeing all the buzz about like everything that had been going on. I was like, oh boy, if they don't call me today, I bet they're going to call me today. And then they called me halfway through our drive. And I was like, well, we're almost to the UP. I want to get up there and enjoy my at least one night of vacation. I was like, everything in my body was like, do you need to go do this? And I was like, yeah, I got to go do this. I feel like after hearing all the buzz and stuff that had been going on in New York, I was like, you know, I love the show and I want to go and I want to like help out in any way that I can. Like if we can keep the show open, let's keep the show open. You know, like I love the show. Like I would do anything for the show. And they know that. So they called me and I was like, yes, fly me from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. I will be there. And then I had like the worst travel day on Monday because all the flights were canceled. And It was a day. I got into New York at 7:15, just in time to watch the 8 o'clock show that night.
Oh my God. That's so crazy. So were you like reading the script on your travel day or anything like that?
Yes. So I basically just sat in the airport and had the script and went through it. And I was like, oh, I remember this. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. She goes to 6. Oh, she goes to 8. Like, oh, okay. I was like, oh yeah. Okay. I got it.
Just to clarify. So when they called you, did they say we need you to come in and be a cover or an offstage swing?
It was more, I was there to kind of just help out. Like there is clearly a lot of things going on.
Absolutely.
Especially like add on to that, like the crazy holiday schedule, you know? Mm-hmm. And they were like, we just need another body in the building.
Yeah.
Just who knows? And I was like, okay, great, cool. And my whole thing is like, if I can offer any relief in any way, like I'm happy to do it. That's kind of always been my role with this company. I'm like, cool, I will happily come in. I will sit on the couch for as many shows as you need. If you just need the feeling of like comfort that like the show can go on if something awful happens. Yeah. And like, that's kind of what I assumed this was going to be, because that's kind of always how it has been. And, you know, like I want to really just give like a huge shout out to all of the people in that show currently right now, because I think like they have been busting their butts to keep that show up, and like the swings and the understudies and the standbys who've just been like filling in and doing crazy stuff. Like what I did was crazy, but what they do every day is crazy. I mean, like the role of the cover is crazy in and of itself, right? And like they are doing it all the time. Like people are coming out of the woodwork to swing like 5 or 6 split track shows, you know, like with roles they haven't done in years either. And I think it's just, it's a testament, I think, to the type of talent that show hires, you know, like I think they're all pretty remarkable and talented. Yeah. And I'm in awe of them. Like the energy when I got into that building, like everyone was so like, they know that they're doing something that is like bigger than them, right? Like keeping the show going is about Broadway, you know, being resilient. And I think it's so important to keep it going if we can. I know people all over the internet are just like, this is crazy, you should shut it down. I'm like, but if we don't have to, why should we? Like, and we can literally keep it going. So let's do it. And maybe I'm crazy for going, but if I can provide that and I can help in any way I can, I'm so happy to do it.
Yeah. You mentioned that you were with your husband. What did he think about taking this gig?
My husband is the most wonderful, supportive man in the whole world. He just was like, girl, you got to do it. You got to do it. Let's do it. Like, okay. Thanks. I was just like, I think I got to go do this. He's like, okay, we're going to make it happen then. I'll watch the dog. I'll send you like cute videos of her in the snow. And that was great. And he checked in and he was really, really great. I don't know how, I would not have done it without him.
Oh, I love to hear that. Is he an artist in any way?
So he used to work for Second City. He and I actually met after I left Wicked. I was doing a guest entertainer spot on Norwegian Cruise Lines. And so this is like the best actually job of my entire life. I would, every week, the ship went out of New York on Sunday to Sunday. We would go to the Bahamas and then would sail back. And on like Wednesday of the week, I would fly to the Bahamas. I would meet the ship in the Bahamas. I would hop onto the ship and then I would cruise back with them to New York, get off on Sunday and go home. On Saturday night, I would do 2 45-minute sets with a 3-piece band, just me. And that was my job. I did that for 6 months every week. And I met him on the ship because he was working for Second City at the time. So he was on his like second contract with them. But wait, it's crazy, y'all. He and I, I'm sorry, this is, he and I.
No, we love this stuff.
We met on the ship because I met somebody in Second City and I was like, oh, I grew up in Chicago. I'm from Oak Park. And they were like, oh, we have a guy in our group from Oak Park. And I was like, really? I meet him. Okay. He and I have never met because I'm older than him. So I would have been a senior when he was a sophomore, but I went to Interlochen. Okay. So I never met him. Mm. But I played softball with his older sister. Our parents knew each other. We both went to NYU at the exact same time. We both lived in New York for the exact same amount of time. And somehow like never met.
Wow. It was meant to be though, when you met at the right time.
So weird. So weird. So he's very supportive to say the least.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. What's his name?
His name is Adam Pasulka. He's in advertising now. I love Adam.
Shout out to Adam.
He's a bitch.
Oh my God, that's so cute. Yeah, it's like what Taylor Swift famously sings about in her song Invisible String, about how something was always kind of pulling you together. Like, you know, when you, if you were in the same place at the same time, but didn't know it, kind of vibe. So mm-hmm. I literally love that. Wait, Carla, back to Wicked really quick. Yeah. I meant to say this a second ago. A clip went around of you singing Defying Gravity, and girl, you have such an unbelievable voice. I just have to tell you, like, the vocals sound healthy and clean and powerful. I don't know how you just were like, all right, I guess we're doing Wicked this weekend. Do you still sing a lot just for fun?
That's a good question. No. That's the funny thing. Okay, so up until there was like a point during the pandemic where, so I've been a voice teacher for a long time and I was teaching a little bit here and there, but I was just like so focused during the pandemic on like tech that I haven't really been singing a lot. I think that honestly to me that's the miracle of the story, the fact that I had a voice. I like have done like recently my friends have been like, Carla, sing karaoke, and they've been like trying to get me to sing a little bit, and like so I guess like maybe in the past month I've like sung maybe a few times, but no. So weird.
Oh,
I'm gagged. I'm so gagged.
You have an absolutely beautiful voice.
Thank you.
You are absolutely incredible. What is it like reuniting with Elphaba?
It was great. Like, I love her. I don't know. I mean, if you talk to other girls who have played Elphaba, I think we all have kind of like this like deep, deep love for the role. I think Elphaba is one of those beautiful characters where she is just such a powerful, strong woman on stage. And I think that's why I love her, because like that's why the audience loves, like you have little kids who come see the show and little girls who are like, oh my God, I want to be Elphaba. Like, I want to be this strong woman, and I get to see this character on stage who her journey is like not really about a man. It's like about her, I mean the whole Fiero thing aside, right? Like her whole journey is just like about being a good person and like doing good, and like, and she's badass, and I love her, and I think just getting to play her again was really, it meant a lot to me.
That's so special. Yeah, and the original version of The Wizard and I was that song Making Good, and I think that's exactly what you're kind of touching mm-hmm. upon, is that she really does have a really clear set of values and dreams, and I do think the version that we see to this day, she still holds true to all of that. Mm-hmm. Wait, so when you were in the show in 2015, was your official title Standby?
No, so I was the understudy in the Broadway company.
Okay.
And then on the tour, I was the understudy, and then I was in Standby for a year on the tour. So I stood by for Dee Rossioli and Nicole Parker and maybe Paris.
Legends.
On tour. Oh my gosh. The amount of people I have stood by and understudied, like, it's been a decade, so like so many people.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, my Standby time on tour, I think, was some of my favorite. I love being Standby. It's a pretty nice gig.
You probably got to go on a lot too.
I did. I went on quite a bit, which is really nice. But even being in the Broadway company when I was there full time, I went on quite a bit, as the world would work, as the crazy mm-hmm. things would happen. I went on an awful lot. But it's a different beast doing the show every day, being in the ensemble, mm-hmm. and then also having to go on. It's a different kind of exhaustion.
Oh, I can imagine. Now, I am someone who's way too anxious. I would never be able to be like, oh, you need me to do that now? Like, I need to have my day very much planned and know what's mm-hmm. happening. Was there ever like a minutes before curtain or like 15 minutes before type situation where you had to go on?
Ooh, yeah, a lot. I've been on it intermission.
Ooh.
I have so many stories. I don't know if they're appropriate.
Sure.
One day I'll write a book.
Save it for the book. That's what I always say about things. Yep, save it for the book.
Dylan, you do always say that. You're like, I'm saving it for my book.
I have a lot of crazy times and things that have happened. I mean, one where I was in the Broadway company and they were like, they called me at 2:00 and they're like, hey, we don't have an Elphaba on the tour. Can you try to Philly and go play Elphaba tonight? So I like went and like got a rental car, swung by the Gershwin, picked up my costumes and drove my ass to Philly. And I got there like 10 minutes to half hour. I almost like locked all the doors and locked the costumes in the car with keys in the car. I like met Fiero literally on stage. It was pretty wild. I love that stuff. I live for it. I don't know. Maybe that's my special skill, but I love that energy of just anything could happen.
and so they knew what they were doing when they reached out to you to come back.
Yeah. I mean, like I like to think of it as like I have been given the responsibility of covering this role as recently as 2019. So like this, and it is a big responsibility and I don't take it lightly. And so even though it has been about 2 years since I'd really thought of the role, a decade of just like learning the nuances of every different alphabet I've covered, you know, like it is like, I will be singing the show when I'm 100 years old. I will probably be able to tell you all the blocking. Like it just like lives in my bones.
Yeah. Wow. I have so many questions, but the last thing I want to say before we talk a little bit more about your background in general is, what was it like that night that you went on for the first time again?
Oddly, like really calming. Like we got to half hour and I was just like, well, it's going to happen. And I was like, I don't think I'm nervous. I was like, I got like that fun like adrenaline rush, but Jenna Claire kept saying to me, she's like, Carly, you're so calm. How are you so calm? I was like, I don't know. Like, something happens. I think that role is really well written for a cover, right? You get shot out of the gate, you run downstage, everybody's like laughing at you, and you have all this energy that you're kind of like throwing at everybody else on stage. And then you get to sing The Wizard and I, which is like this beautiful song about being excited and nervous and terrified, and you are already feeling all of those things. So you just channel it into the song, and then by that point you're like settled in, and it's, you just ride it out.
Wow,
I love it. Wait, what's your favorite song to sing as Elphaba?
Oh, No Good Deed, absolutely. That is like, it's like getting to throw a tantrum on stage in front of thousands of people. It's so much fun. And that big like cape, like 80s rock star moment. Yeah.
And the wind blowing and everything. It's amazing.
The best.
And it's kind of like, you know, it's like kind of smooth sailing for you after that point.
Mm-hmm. Now, okay, I want to get into your decision to move into tech and sort of like eventually move to Chicago. But before we do that, we like to ask all of our guests about their Ring of Keys moment, that moment of recognition when you felt like you got bit by the bug of the entertainment industry, whether it be performing, acting, singing, or even just a general interest in pop culture. Do you feel like you had a Ring of Keys moment?
So I think my Ring of Keys moment happened a little bit later after I had already kind of been performing. So I grew up in a really like musical family. My grandmother was an opera singer at the Lyric. My mother is a pianist. Like, there was always music in my household. And I had gone to Interlochen, and I started off at Cincinnati Conservatory of Music as like a voice major. And I was having vocal trauma. I had a vocal cyst on my cords. And I dropped out of school and I worked at an Italian deli in Chicago. And I was like, what am I doing with my life? Like, what do I want? And I was like, oh, I want to perform. Maybe I'll just be an actor. And I moved to NYU. And I was like, I'm just going to act. And I randomly had to get some credits out of the way. And so I did Cap 21 summer program. And I remember I was sitting in our studio class and I was singing, I'm Not Afraid of Anything.
Oh,
just like thinking about that song makes me want to cry. And I broke down crying after it. And my teacher was like, why are you not doing musical theater? I was like, I don't know. And I just like, I was so overwhelmed by that moment. And I was like, oh, I have to do this. Like, I, there's nothing else that I can do. I have to do this. And I spent time after that immediately just like working with a coach, learning how to belt. Cause I was like a coloratura soprano before that. Right. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to learn how to belt and like just work on my technique and figure this out. And it was just like, all, as soon as that happened, everything just kind of fell into place. And I was like, oh, okay.
You're telling me that you could also play Glinda?
My dream in life is to play Glinda and to be the first Triple Witch cover in the United States, because I'm pretty sure somebody did it in Europe or anything.
Someone did it in the London production. At least the two. I don't know about Nessa, but
no, she did Nessa. She did all.
She did Nessa. Yeah. You know your stuff. Mm-hmm. But first of all, you're gonna make me sob with that story. Like the sound in your voice. I feel like we were there in that moment again. That song is unbelievably well written. Jason Robert Brown, of course. Is that song in your set? Like when you did the Norwegian Cruise Lines or anything, have you ever been able to do that song again?
I did it in a concert that I did here in New York, right when I left Wicked, but I haven't sung in a long time. It's a beautiful song though, right? Oh,
I know. It's amazing.
It gets me.
And okay. So it's just interesting to me that you're able to make these big decisions in your life where you know, you're at Cincinnati, which I live in Columbus, so I'm a little close by there. And then you'd say, no, I need to do something different. And then you go to New York, and then you're able to switch and you have such resolve in the decision making. I can't help but wonder how that played a role into your decision to ultimately, as we like to say, leave the industry and take on using the other side of your brain. Mm-hmm. In like the STEM field. And now what has that experience been like?
You know, it's funny that you said it like that, because you're right. Like I'm a very spontaneous person. I make decisions very fast. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm done with this. Let's do something else. I had a moment where when I left Wicked full time in 2015, I was like, I need to do something else. And I went and I got a master's at NYU in education, in theater education. And I was like, I'm going to teach. And so I was teaching and I was doing all these things. And I was like, man, I love teaching, but like, I still don't have health insurance and I'm still just like hustling so hard and I'm tired. And like, it honestly, like a friend of mine, like came to my birthday party and he's like, he's a songwriter. And he was like, guess what? I'm a software engineer now. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he was like, I did this boot camp and now I work at this big fancy company and I make all this money and I have health insurance. And I was like, that sounds incredible. And I was like, how do I do that? And I like, literally I went home and I just started researching it and teaching myself some stuff. And I was like, oh, I love this. I would like have that moment where I was like, sit down at my computer and all of a sudden it would be like 5 hours later. And I will have like forgotten to drink water and forgotten to like eat or go to the bathroom or like, and I was like, oh, well, okay. I clearly like this thing. And it's similar to, so like, I do a lot of things, but I'm also a ceramic artist. So I do a lot of pottery and I wheel throw. And I was like, oh, this is also kind of like creative in that way. And so I was like, I really like this and I feel like I could get into this. I was always good at math and like music theory and stuff. So I was like, okay. And so I was like, cool. Well, I'm going to commit to this. And I did. And I went to a boot camp and it was just like really fun. I was like, this is cool. Like, and it's such a different world and people find me very interesting. I stick out like a sore thumb in the tech industry. But I love it. Like, I think I bring like a really unique personality and experience to tech, which is fun. I'm part of a group called Artists Who Code that some friends of mine who are also Broadway performers started right at the beginning of the pandemic, because they had gone to a boot camp like a year before. And when the pandemic started, a ton of people started reaching out to me and reaching out to them. And they were like, how do I learn to code? I don't know what to do. Like, my identity is theater and I just don't know where I'm going. Like, what do I do now? So they started this group and it's just been amazing to see all these artists kind of come out of the woodwork and be like, I want to learn this. I can learn this. I can use this part of my brain. I'm smart too. Like, and it's been really like magical to see like so many people be like, I can be all these things. And that's great. Really exciting. Yeah,
no, that is great. And I think it's a concept that I've been talking about a lot with my friends lately, the idea that like your job isn't necessarily your life. Like, even you saying like, you know, you're a Broadway star and then you work in tech and you also love ceramics, like it sounds like an obvious thing to say, but we all contain multitudes and interests, and you can't make your entire life about like just your job, even though it takes up most of our day most of the time. We all have so many different interests. So I think you're so cool.
You know, I sometimes am like, what am I doing with my life? I don't know. I have so many directions, but I also find it really exciting and really fun and I'm having a really good time. So
I can tell.
When did you move to Chicago?
My husband and I moved in April because we were just kind of like living in a tiny little apartment in Brooklyn during the pandemic. And I was like, what are we doing? We both work remotely. Like, let's get our dog a yard. We got like 4 bedrooms, 3.5 baths, 3 floors. Y'all, the windows that go from the floor to the ceiling. Every day I'm like, oh my God, I love my house.
And you're close to your family now, I'd imagine.
Yeah, we're close to, his family lives there. My family moved to California.
Oh, cool. Oh my gosh.
So, oh yeah, we're going to go out there.
Okay,
like,
good.
Very shortly. I was gonna say, as soon as like Omicron has died down.
Yes.
Wait, I need to ask about your time in Mamma Mia.
Mm. Oh my God, I love that show.
So were you in the tour of it?
Yeah, so I was in the second national. What year was that? 2006 to 2009?
Okay.
Something like that.
So this is right after the movie came out. So it was probably really popular.
It was right before. Okay. The movie came out right, I remember like during that, because I remember we all went to the big like opening premiere support, which was really fun. But yeah, it was fun. Like Sean Allen Krill.
Oh, wow.
Jag Little Pill was one of my dads. It was a really fun show. Like, I don't know if you see that show a lot,
yes.
But like me being like a Sondheim snob growing up and then being like, oh my God, I'm gonna do Mamma Mia. I was like, oh my God, I love that show.
It's like the ultimate crowd pleaser, right? Yeah.
I'm like, who cares if she doesn't find out who her dad is? Like that mega mix at the end, it's a party. Yes,
I know.
Such a party. So were you Sophie?
I understudied Sophie. Yeah. I understudied Sophie. Carrie Menalakis and Vicky Noon.
Icons.
I'm always the best. I feel like I followed the two of them around because as soon as they booked Elphaba, I also was like, well, if they can do it, I can do it. But I went and did it right after they did it.
I wonder if we saw you on the tour. Did you guys ever come to Cleveland?
I don't think I ever went to Cleveland with it. It might have gone after I was there.
Okay. Wait, what Sondheim show is your fave?
Ooh, Into the Woods, hands down.
Ooh, great. Like, every life lesson you need is in there, right?
Everything. Everything you ever need to know. My family used to sit around the piano and my mom would, we would play the whole show from beginning to end and sing every single song in the show.
And did you divide up roles or was it like you all just sang together?
We'd do all the different harmonies.
Oh, fun.
Like, and we'd take turns on like, but it isn't my fault. It doesn't mean you just made a little bit of four beats. You'd like do like all the different parts, you know.
Oh my God, Carla, I need you to play Bobby in Company.
I'm not going to lie. That is on my list. Yeah. I would love to do that role.
I could see that.
She's pretty
for awesome. Sure.
Wait, so I guess this is something I was thinking about earlier when we first started talking, but you know, right now you're working in tech. Well, right now you're working on Broadway and then you're going to be back in tech.
Oh no, I'm still in tech. I'm in work right now. I'm on my lunch break.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, stop. Oh my God. Well, listen, we'll let you go in a sec here, but I guess my final question before our closing segment, I'm just wondering, do you have like a dream role, something you'd love to play anywhere?
I mean, honestly, like I would love to play every single role in Into the Woods. I've already done Little Red. Mm-hmm. So one day I would like to play Cinderella and then Baker's Wife and then Witch. But I don't know. It's funny that you said Bobby. That was something that I thought about recently. I was like, oh, now that like a woman has played Bobby, oh, I could do that. Cause like Being Alive is like one of my favorite songs of all time. And I sang it at a concert. I did like I had my mom make a mashup of Giants of the Sky and Being Alive, which like surprisingly works very well.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, I love that song. But it's funny. I don't know if I don't know what I'm going to do. Right. Like,
yeah,
I'm in Chicago now and there's definitely like a theater scene. There's like a TV film scene. Maybe I haven't explored the scene out there yet. So there's still a pandemic going on. So it's been like, kind of hard to like dabble, but you know, I definitely think like it's something I'm going to start thinking about soon.
I love it. Well, hey, if the last year or even like the last week has shown us anything, like truly anything could happen at any minute.
You
so
never know.
The possibilities are endless.
They are unlimited.
Oh, there it is.
Sorry.
Listen, always repping the brand, always. Well, before we say goodbye, we have to end on a dose of drama. It could be something we've been binge watching lately, something we want to rant about, rave about, promote, anything that's on our minds. And Dylan, I think I would love for you to kick it off today.
Okay. This is controversial beyond belief, but
drama.
I know. We all know that Adele is one of my queens, but I have to just say, I am not obsessed with her album 30. I know it came out a few months ago. I don't know what it is. Please do not lock me away, y'all. There's a few songs that I absolutely love, but it is just not, to me, hitting me in the way that 25 hit me. And that's all I've got to say about it. And you can argue with me in the DMs. Have you heard the album, Carla?
I have. I like it. I love her. I like Adele a lot. Yeah.
Do you love the album, though?
You know, I'm really, really... I love the first one that she did. Like that was like the one I listened to on repeat. So
oh, yes.
I'm kind of an OG Adele fan.
So was it 19? Yeah, 19, 21, it. 25, 30. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Dylan, I hear you and I get it. Like I'm not obsessed with 30 either, but I still listen to it like every day.
Yeah. I don't know. To me.
So maybe I am obsessed if I listen every day.
To me, like all I ask is like her magnum opus. Like there's just so many things on that 25 album that just, that's my drama. It's just a 30. Maybe 30 is not the new 25. I'm sorry. As I approach 30, slowly.
Oh my God.
Approach 30.
Don't age us.
You guys are like trip.
Anyways, that's my dose of drama. Connor, what about you? Do you have a dose of drama?
I do. And you know what? For the first time since 2010, since Ali Fedotowsky was The Bachelorette, I am leaving Bachelor Nation. I am not watching The Bachelor, The Bachelorette. I don't even think I'll go back to Paradise. I've decided that it's time for me to go. No more roses. No more most dramatic seasons ever. No more straight culture being force fed down my throat. I think I'm done with it. I really stuck through it to the bitter end here. And, you know, I think it's okay to outgrow parts of our lives, even if it means the Bachelor franchise. So that's my drama. I felt a little left out because the new season did premiere this week. And I was like tempted when I got a little push notification on my phone from Hulu being like, the new episode of The Bachelor is on, because of course I've been watching forever. So it knows what my habits are. And I felt, but you know what? I also feel free. I feel free. You know,
good for you. Welcome.
No, thank you. I know you left last year.
I did.
Carla, do you watch The Bachelor?
I don't. But I mean, that's not to say I don't like trashy TV. That's just not my brand of trashy TV.
Yeah. I think the format is just stale at this point and it's overproduced.
No, I'm not a huge fan of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you have a dose of drama?
All right. So I'm going to stick on brand with my dose of drama.
Yes.
My dose of drama is telling kids that if they want to do theater, they have to like fully commit. And if they can see themselves doing anything else, they should go do it. Because I hate that saying. And I think it's bull crap. I'm sorry if I've sworn a lot today. I just hate it. I'm like, don't tell kids, like you're like stunting their growth. You're like telling them that like, you're like limiting what they can do. You're like telling them that like, they have to do theater and nothing else. And then you end up with kids who are theater actors who like don't know what else to do with their lives if they realize they don't want to do theater later in life, or they didn't finish their degree or whatever. And I hate that. And I think we need to stop telling people that. That's all. That's my drama.
Snaps everything. Yes. I have been hearing that line for years and it always made me feel like, cause I had wanted to do theater and then I was like, well, but I also really love writing and I love, you know, these things. So I guess that means I shouldn't do theater. Cause like my role models would say it. I can think of a couple of people that I really looked up to when I was younger that would say that in interviews, and it limited me. But as we've decided, we're unlimited, y'all.
We are unlimited. Carla, I'm so delighted by this chat. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for saving Broadway during the holiday season. I truly think you're an icon.
Thank you, you guys. Thank you for having me. This is really, really delightful.
Well, thank you for, you know, stealing away on your lunch break and continue to code and inspire so many people. And I'm so glad that we know you now. Everyone should, of course, follow you on your social media channels. It's at Stickler Carla.
Yeah,
right?
Somebody had my name before I got on Twitter, Carla Stickler. So that's why I'm Stickler Carla. So that's where we're at.
It is what it is. I love it. Well, it has been so nice to meet you. And anyone who got the chance to see you in this last week of Wicked is very, very lucky. Mm-hmm. And anyone who, you know, loved this chat should, of course, follow us at The Drama Podcast. Follow me at Dylan McDowell, Connor at Connor McDowell. And Connor, I'll see you next time.
Drama.